Okay, so I've selected a piece from the Sefer Sif Seichaim from Reb Chaim Friedland of blessed memory, who was one of the Manal Ruchni and the Panovich Yeshiva B'nai Brak. It's a number of Svarim that he's put out, and we've discussed them from time to time. And this has to do with Sukkos, so it has to do with the overall understanding of how we perform mitzvahs. So the title of it is called Sukkah Mitzvah Kala Ein Ba Chesaron Kis. Sukkah is a light mitzvah, whatever that means. Ein Ba Chesaron Kis. There is no chesaron, lacking kis in the pocket. Simple meaning is there's no great financial loss involved in that mitzvah. There's some mitzvahs that cost a lot of money. Some mitzvahs cost a little bit of money. And sukkah really is a cheap mitzvah in terms of how much money we have to spend. Okay, so let's see what this title is about. It starts with a Gemara, famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah. L'asid lavo, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah minicha b'cheika v'omer. In the future when Mashiach comes, Hashem will bring a Sefer Torah as it were, it's all allegory. He'll place it in his lap. V'omer, he'll say, whoever engaged in this Torah, let him go and take it as reward. It's time for the reward. Immediately, all the non-Jewish nations of the world are going to come gather in a chaotic state, pushing forward, all wanting to get their reward. And it's a long Gemara. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'may asaktam. So Hashem asked them, so what you guys do that you deserve all this reward? Amram Lafana, then different nations come with different things, but the main point is this. Amram Lafana, they say, before Rabbeinu Shalom, Harbe Shukim Tiknenu, Harbe Marchatzos Asinu, Harbe Kesef Vizov Hirbinu, V'kulam La Asinu Elabishol Yisrael Kedesh Yisasku Batoira. We built many marketplaces. We built many marchatzos, bathhouses. We made all kinds of, denominations of gold and silver. All kinds of financial issues. And all of them, we did them only for the Jewish people so that they could learn a lot of Torah. So this is including the Nazis. This is including the Romans. This is including the Greeks. Okay, we'll throw in the Canadians also. The Americans. The Muslims. They're all saying these beautiful tainus. We deserve rewards. Everything we did was for the Jews. So, Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem answered, Shaitim Sheba Olam, you biggest fools of the world. Hakol Masha Sisim Lutzerch Atzvachem Asisim. Whatever you did for yourselves. Right? The Romans will say, we built aqueducts. And that enabled water to come from the oceans or whatever, from the rivers, and people could have water near their homes. We built bathhouses that people could wash and be clean. We had a market economy. We built the internet. But all these things, and ultimately the Jews benefited from it. So Hashem says, you just did it for yourselves. Don't drain me a cup. You didn't sit one night and say, oh, how can we make the Jewish people's lives better? No, we'll make the internet so people could learn Torah online. I don't think the guy who made it up thought of that idea. Although that's what's happening. But that's not what he thought about. That's the Gemara. So, Hagon Rav Yitzchak Zev Mibrisk Zal, received for all the Torah, the Brisk Rav, and the Sefer on Torah, Mevaras Avikuach Ben HaKadosh Baruch Lumas Oilam. He explains this discussion between Hashem and the nations of the world. Okay, are you with two, there's two parts, there's a single sheet together with the stapled sheets. You should have two of them. So he explains what's going on. Now, the obvious question is, on this Gemara, what is it, the Goyim lying straight to their teeth when they're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, this is the end game now. You can't come with your diplomatic narishkeit in the UN in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So what are they saying? Of course they did it for themselves. They didn't know that. So certainly what the non-Jews are saying at this point is not lying, totally. Whatever they claimed is really true. And what was God's answer to them? Did he say you're a bunch of liars? He didn't say you're a bunch of liars. What did he say? Shaitim, you're fools. So obviously, they were not lying to him. So they're telling the truth. But he says that you're fools instead of liars. So what's going on? Achabir Bazeb, the explanation is over here. Kemosh b'tchilas habriya, just like in the beginning of creation. Everything that was created. Lo nivra ha'olam ela bishvil Yisrael u'bishvil ha'toyrah. That the world was created only for the Jewish people and only for Torah. Everything in this world that Hashem made was for one purpose. To have the Jewish people live in this world in a way that they can learn Torah. And everything Hashem made was for that purpose. So, that's why God made the world. So, kach kol ma she'nasa v'nischadesh ba'olam. So too, whatever will develop and happen, will occur in historical events in the world. Me'ischilas habriya v'atso, from the beginning of creation till the end, of kol ha'doros, of all the generations, who rak l'tachlosu, who's only for this purpose. Yishvil she'yisrael yasku b'Torah, so that the Jewish people shall engage in the learning of Torah. Again, the first word of the Torah, Bereishis, always repeated over and over. First Rashi, Bishvil Reishis, because of, Bereishis means because of the Jewish people. Bishvil Torah, because of Torah. Hashem created a world for the Jewish people to learn Torah and to get close to Hashem. That's the whole reason we're alive. And that's why God created the world. And the God who's the creator of the world, he's the one who maintains the world and one who guides history. Everything that happened in world history is for one reason, to get Jews to learn Torah and to get close to Hashem. As much as it may look otherwise, but it's not so. Everything, there's not one thing in this world that wasn't somehow directly or indirectly a cause to get people to get closer to Hashem and learn Torah. That's what it's all about. So if that's the case, and now we're coming to the times of the Mashiach. When the times of Mashiach come, Hashem reveals himself to the world in the most powerful way. And all the Narishkeit that people think, you know, every country thought that they were this and that and everything else, it becomes revealed retroactively. That everything in this world, and Hashem shows it. That's going to be the beauty of Mashiach. It's going to show you how the Holocaust brought us closer to Hashem. We don't see this. We can't understand it. But it is. It has to be. He's going to show it to us when Mashiach comes and go, wow, I never thought that one out. Oh, that's an amazing one. You know, how about the Inquisition? He'll show you how the Inquisition did that. Everything's going to do that. And everyone's going to see this, the Jews and the non-Jews. And the emes will come out, that everyone will know that everything was just another step to get the Jewish people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once that, and the non-Jews will see this too. So if that's the case, so v'kach kol masha umos olam oisim, and it comes out that everything that the non-Jews did in this world over the entire history of the world, im shukim or mechartzos, whether it's marketplaces, whether it's bathhouses, yesam tachlis lamala bishvil Yisrael bishvil haTorah, there's a supernal goal for the Jewish people and for Torah. V'kach kol prat hamischadish ba'olam u'tachlis, and every detail that comes new into the world is for that goal. Now, Barama Akshav, however, now, Einanu Yodim al Kol Masa Umasa, we don't know how every single action, Ech Tachlisu Matara Suvishal Yisrael. We don't know how each one, its goal is for the Jewish people. We don't know this. Ulam Lasid Lava Kishitizkalo Emislein Kol. But in the future, when everything is revealed to all eyes to see, Umaleya Haaretz Deya, and the whole world is filled with knowledge, it will be clarified what every single action's goal was, how to get us to that goal. So now the nation of the world will discuss and show that everything they did in Muhammad's Fakibush with their wars and with their conquests, Oshuki Muksharim, or the marketplaces or the toll bridges that you had to pay, Lo nasa kol zeh ela bishvil Yisrael shiyasku b'Torah. Was only done for the Jewish people so that they should engage in Torah. Because they know, they see how it worked out. They see, when we did this, when I did the internet and I did it, and I did it to make $50 million profit. But now I see that the whole reason the internet was so that a Jew who's living in China can connect online to a class 6:15 right over here. And how Jews that were lost were able to come back. Oh! See how I was working for you, God? I'm supposed to get a reward. And how the allied powers can go to God and say, look, we destroyed the Axis powers. We did this so there'd be a remnant of Jews in the world who were able to leave and now build up Torah in America and Eretz Yisrael. See what we did. You can go, we should one day give some classes how history, Mamish, is all there. All the steps of history were there to get the Jewish people to get closer to Hashem. Right? So look, we did everything for the Jewish people. So we've got to get a reward. So that's the thing, making a good case. Right? So, ukeshivachu, umas oila mahaisa tachus, umatarasa same. And when it was proved, the non-Jews, they proved, look, this was the goal for this, this was the goal for this. You just showed it to us. As yavo litvos, chayal kamasev, so we should get a reward. It's a good taina, no? Amnam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meishiv lem, but the Rabbeinu Shalom answers, Shoyti matem, you fools. You're not liars, but you're fools. Kol ma'aseichem, when you did what you did, hayarak l'tzarech atzchem, was only for what you wanted. When you did this thing, when you conquered this country, you conquered it because you had imperialistic desires. That's what you wanted. V'lo'isa kavona, you can say all kinds of things. You said the English could say, listen, we had colonies. Right, but a colony in South Africa, right? See, if we didn't make a colony, it would have been a bunch of Schwarzes the whole time. The white men would never have come there. They would never have developed the diamonds and the gold and the silver and become rich. And with the money, they were able to learn Torah. Right? So God said, what are you talking about? You wanted to rule the whole world. Finished. That's what you wanted. Right? And if Jews moved in, you figured it's good. They're businessmen and you'll get taxes and you'll get revenues. And that's what you wanted. It just so happened that it did benefit Torah as well. But that wasn't your intention. Right. V'lo ha'isa kavona v'maseichem, and your intention and your actions was not bishvil Yisrael shisasku b'Torah, that the Jews should be able to learn Torah. U'memela comes out, gam lo magia schar al-maseichem, therefore you don't get a reward for what you do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishalem schar p'ula al-kol ma'aseh. Hashem gives a reward for actions. Right? God does reward you for everything you do. Rak! Kishamaisa naisa mitoch kavona lehetiv Yisrael. Only if the action is done with the intention of helping the Jewish people. He says, this explanation I heard in the name of Rav Dessler. Okay, that's the Gemara, as the Brisker Rav explains. Okay, turn the page. Now you go to the staple booklet. Page Shin Yud Ches. Photocopied it in the office yesterday, and then when I just looked it over late last night, I said, oh yeah, I forgot the first page. Okay. Anyway, that itself is a nice board. But now we continue. This Gemara continues. So then they want a reward, right? And God says, you idiots, when you did it for yourself. So what do you want? You want a reward? You can't get a reward for this. Okay, now we're on the staple sheets. Okay. We should, I don't know if we have enough. We made 10 copies. Should have just enough. Okay, so now the next page in Shin Yuches, the Gemara goes on. And this is where we come on to Sukkos. So Amr Lefan of Rabbeinu Shloilam, Tanolanu Meroish V'Nasenu. So they say, God, you kind of played a trick on us. You never let us know in the beginning that there was this idea to do mitzvahs for you. So let's start fresh, right now. It's Mashiach, it's fresh. Give us a mitzvah. And we didn't know this business that if we're doing things and it's, we had to do it for you and this. So let's do straight away. Tell us here. I'm God. You're the non-Jews. This is what I want you to do and do it. And then we'll get a reward. It's only fair. You told the Jews at Sinai what to do. You never told us what to do. We had to figure out that our actions are supposed to be fair. Okay. He says, "Tno lanu mitzvah, give us a mitzvah. Vahodianu marosh al kach v'nasenu, and let us know in advance, right from the get-go, what do you want from us, and we'll do it." Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Mitzvah kala yeshli, I have a very easy mitzvah, v'sukkah shmo, and its name is sukkah. Lechu vasu osa, do it. Build a sukkah, cost you a couple bucks, and I'm sure by the time of Mashiach, they'll be able to make instant prefabricated sukkahs, mamish, you know, unbelievable, right? Yeah, just go down to Borough Park and get a pop-up sukkah, you know. They'll give them away for you, you know, and just, fine. Now, v'amai korile mitzvah kala, why are they calling it an easy mitzvah? Because the leis b'chasar and kiss, you don't lose much money in this mitzvah. Miyad, the mitzvah's not expensive. Our comforts make it expensive. If we lived in Eretz Yisrael, it's the cheapest mitzvah in the world. You got your veranda over there. Put a few sheets up, a couple branches on the top, and it's a machaya. It's a machaya. So anyway, what happens? Miyad kol echad vechad noitel v'helech v'isa sukkah b'rosh gago. Immediately, every non-Jew, what do? They go and build a sukkah on the roof. And, it's Mechaya. V'kadosh Baruch Hu maktir aleihem chama b'tkufis tamus. Then Hashem brings out a sun, a heat, like in the equinox of Tammuz. Tammuz is the dead of the summer. An Israeli chamsin in July. Okay? Really, a real scorcher. V'chol echad mevayit b'sukkos v'yoytzei. And everyone goes out of the sukkah and they kick the door as they leave. They kick the sukkah as they leave, and they leave it. So, says Hashem, says, see, I even gave you an easy mitzvah. You couldn't even do the easy mitzvah. You want an easy mitzvah? I gave you an easy mitzvah. You didn't do it. The Gemara says, wait a minute. I'm a Rava, but Rava, and the Gemara taught us, mitzvah poter min sukkah. If someone's in pain, if you're suffering, you're not obliged to be in the sukkah. If it's raining, are you supposed to be in the sukkah? No. If it's very unbearable for you to be in a sukkah, if it's frigid, freezing cold, or even scorching hot, you're not obliged to be in a sukkah. So what's God's problem? Some more answers. Nihida pater, even though you're excused, b'ute mi mevati, but kick you after kick. Okay, you're excused, but what are you kicking the sukkah for? Miyara kadosh baruch hu yoyishev masachek aleihem. So right away, Hashem immediately just has fun with them. That's the end of the story. And the non-Jews of the world generally are not going to get any reward for Torah. Not for what they did during the course of history, and not for this mitzvah that they did. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. So now Reb Friedland asks a few questions. The Yeshlav, and we have to understand. La'asid lavo, in the future, kishyavihu, and that stands for umos ha'olam, lavakesh ma'kadosh baruch ha'shitin lehem mitzvah. When the non-Jews come, and they asked from Hashem to give him a mitzvah. And God informs them right away what he's doing with him. And they're doing the mitzvah with all the right intentions. So the question is, why did God choose sukkah over any other mitzvah? He could have given them Shabbos. He could have given them Kibbutz of Aim. He could have given them a whole bunch of mitzvahs. What's up with sukkah? Question one. And why this mitzvah that's been defined, I think it should be hugdara, that's the way I would, was just defined as, a mitzvah doesn't have a chesaron and kis. Like, I'll give you this mitzvah. Why are you adding this idea? There's no financial cost over here. What does that do with the whole discussion with the non-Jews? And if it costs a few dollars, like, why are we throwing in this idea of the chesaron and kis business? So you could give a simple answer and say, well, listen, to share, it's not even a hard mitzvah to do. It doesn't cost them any money. If a God gave him a mitzvah that techveis, Shabbos, you have to spend a lot of money cooking for Shabbos. Techveis, it could be an expensive mitzvah. Techveis didn't say lulav and esrog, you notice. And Hashem knew that I don't know. But anyway, what does this have to do with the whole discussion as well? So now he's gonna take us back a little bit of Chazara to Litzato. First section, fourth parak, very famous piece from Litzato. So this, I figured this piece will last us a couple of days, so you're not gonna get the whole thing today, but we'll just get an important idea. Be'er Advarim, so let's explain. Yesh mitzvahs, and this all fits into our Bilvavi theme. Yesh mitzvahs shekiyumam hi al yedei etzem asiyas ha-mitzvah. There's two types of mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah that its fulfillment comes essentially through the doing of the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah. V'akavona, and the intention you have, beis asiyas ha-mitzvah, when you do the mitzvah, hirak kitoisefes le'etzem kiyum ha-mitzvah. It is an addition to the essential part of the mitzvah. Not that it isn't important, but aval ikar ha-mitzvah hi al-yidei kiyum ma'aseh mitzvahs. But the main part of the mitzvah is through the fulfillment of the action of the mitzvah. And below he brings in footnote one from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Chaim of Volozhin, where he brings in his that section in between the third and fourth section. He brings a quick line there. Kvar huskarnu, we already mentioned, sha'ikar b'chol ha-mitzvah sechilek ha-masa, the main thing in mitzvahs is the action. V'taras ha-machshova ein elo mitztarefes l'maisa, but the purity of thought, that only is what connects us to the action. Ula mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, loli kuvah, it doesn't hold back. Now, it's a very important idea, not to confuse ourselves here. You got to know, the bottom line, as they say in Yiddish, the unterster shura, is did you do the mitzvah or not? You know, it was interesting on Yom Kippur. I was trying to meet some people, schmooze with some people. So I met a former South African. He was so former, I didn't even hear his accent. There was no accent. So we had a... I met a very nice guy that had come to Yeshua for a number of years. I have an extended family that comes. Must be 12, 15 people come. So we have a lot of Hakaras HaTov to them. They help the shul. So the guy says he really loves Judaism, this and that, and he's an amazing debater. An amazing debater. He says, I've debated with the Muslims and the Christians. I've been in places in front of 1,000 people, proving to them how Yashka is crazy, and this is, and Jewish religion is the only religion. Very nice. You know, but I don't keep any of it.
Yeah. He hasn't debated with himself.
Yeah, I didn't listen to Yom Kippur. I have to. He says, I love the intellectual part of this religion. It makes so much sense. It's like unbelievable, you know. But you know, and his wife would like him to be a little more. But you know, what's this? What's the Shabbos? What's this? It's in the head. You know, so I'm kind of looking at him. I'm not saying anything, but he can feel that my body language is saying something. You know, and after all, he knows he's saying it to a rabbi. I mean, a rabbi's, and then he starts saying, you know, and these phony people, he said, listen, if you really believe, then you do the whole thing. None of this part this and part that. You know, okay. I was, Yom Kippur was not the time for me to dismember the guy. You know, like to totally dismember the guy, and you know, it just wasn't the place, and it wasn't, you know. But, so I said, yes, you know, but I love to learn. So I said, you should come to some of our classes. It's one of those classes that are teaching us how to do things, you know, the class, all the philosophical. I love the philosophy. So I said to myself, Achenvei, it's such a, But anyway, you never know. But anyway, so this is exactly what the Nefesh HaChaim is talking about. You have a person who can identify mamish with everything in Yiddishkeit. He doesn't want the kids to marry out and this and that. And that's why they come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He loves my sermons. We love it. It's great. You know. So, but what's the problem? The bottom line is, what do you do as a Yid? After all is said and done, you gotta do it. I already know what next year's Yom Kippur drush is going to be.
Write it down.
Somebody write it down. Jeanette, you'll make a note of it, please. It's got to be next year's Yom Kippur drush.
Put it in your calendar in the computer.
Okay, anyway. But you know, in other words, I love Hashem, and I'm proud to be a Jew. Yeah, but the Rebbe says, so put on tefillin. Go put on tefillin, show him that you love him. You know, like the husbands and the wives, right? I love my wife. I love her. No? Why don't you take out the garbage? Why don't you take out the garbage? Why don't you go for a walk with her? Why don't you do something? Right? So, and that's what they mean, that the main thing is you gotta do it. Now, of course, we're not, you know, contradicting what we said in the Bovavi, that you gotta feel closeness to Hashem, and if you don't feel the closeness to Hashem, you're missing the main part of the mitzvah, this or that. That's all true. But you could love Hashem unbelievable. And there are people who say, I'm really close with God. I'm so spiritual. I am so spiritual. You know, I smoke marijuana in the fields. I'm so spiritual. Right? It's like unbelievable. God is everything. No, you moron. So do what God tells you to do. We have a Plutonic relationship, you know. It's just like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good you are, how much you love. If you don't do, forget it. Now the doing speaks volumes. So, you know, we have to judge all our from Jews, from habit Jews, favorably, right? At least they're still doing. You know, even if. It's a quick 30-minute davening, you know. But at least, you know, they're going out and doing it. You know, they're still doing something. You know, if they didn't love Hashem, they wouldn't. Yeah, who in their right mind gets up at 6 o'clock, even to fly through davening for 30 minutes? And there's no kavon. But at the end of the day, they're going to say, Hashem, I could have slept in bed another half an hour, like all the other secular people who slept in bed forever. Now, I'm not saying that excuses their poor behavior. But at the end of the day, Hashem has to give them some kind of reward for everything that they did. He has to. So what do you like? He went and bought a Lulav and Esrog and spent $100 on a Lulav and Esrog. Okay, he may not have had the nicest, didn't have all the kavanas of Lulav and Esrog, and he built the mighty in a sukkah. He did a lot of things. And he's entitled. Okay, now if he would have had better kavanah, he would have been closer to Hashem, he would have enjoyed the religion more and all these things, but at least there's action. Action is, it's gotta be there. If you don't, you know, can have all the biggest machshavas, but you don't come to doing it. The bottom line is, it's a doing religion. If you don't do it, then you're a phony. Now, of course, you wanna get more mileage out of it. You wanna have good kavana. But if you don't do it, like, you haven't even got to first base. Now, for states of Elaine, if you do and don't think, you're always stranding runners on base, using a baseball expression. You get a lot of hits that, theoretically, I calculated, you can get, you know, like 27 hits in a game. And not score one run. They can get three singles every inning, leave three men on base, right? And leave 27 runners stranded on base. And you score zero runs. You may have, you're, all your players can be the highest batting averages in the league. But you didn't score, you didn't win any games. So like doing a mitzvah, when you do it, you get a single, a double, a triple. But to make it a home run, you have to have good kavana. Okay, but still you got a good batting average, right? So anyway, but that's important. But the Iker mitzvah, okay, is you gotta do it. At the end of the day, if you don't do it, you're a zero. You have husbands, they tell their wives, I love you, and I care about you, and things are gonna be better from now on, and I'm gonna, just give me one more chance, and this and that. And then the next day, he still doesn't take out the garbage, and he still doesn't compliment her for the meal, and he still doesn't help with the dishes, and he still doesn't this. What? Yeah, it's Kia Gadola, no truths. At the end of the day, he still doesn't do anything. Oh, but I love you and I this and I that. Bottom line, you do anything? That's critical. Okay. So that's one kind of mitzvah. And that's your general mitzvahs. V'yesh ma'asim, but there's other types of actions. Sh'asiyosim greida eni atzeres mitzvah. There's another type of action that the action itself really doesn't create a mitzvah alone by the action. Elide hakavona b'shaskima ma'isa hiyamachshiras hamasa lamasa mitzvah. But the intention, when you are doing the action, that will machshira will develop the action to become a mitzvah. What are we talking about? Eating breakfast. Eating breakfast. A mitzvah or not? Where does it say in the Torah to eat breakfast? Nowhere. Where does it say in the Bible to eat breakfast? Where does it say in the Bible to eat an orange at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? It doesn't say it anywhere. It's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. Right? But if you're eating it for the sake of Avodas Hashem, but if your intention where you're eating it is to have more strength for what I have to do after I eat breakfast, that will cause make your eating be considered like a mitzvah. But if you're only eating it because you're hungry, I'm starving, I can eat a horse. Why am I eating? Because I'm starving. I don't want to be starving anymore. And I want the pleasure of a full stomach. That's why I'm eating. I like the taste of the food as it goes down. That's why I'm eating. L'lo kavanah nosavas, without any additional thought of how this is making me strong to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or other things. Ein b'mas achila kiyum mitzvah klal. That action of eating is not a mitzvah at all. So what has he done? There's two types of actions now. There's an action where the action itself, by definition, doing it is automatically a mitzvah. Putting on tefillin now, no matter what, you've done a mitzvah, even if you're not having the deepest thoughts about it, but the deepest thoughts would put much more mileage to that mitzvah, but I've done a mitzvah regardless. Or eating breakfast afterwards, which is not a mitzvah per se, the action is not a mitzvah, it's the thoughts that will make it a mitzvah. Okay, that's the two different things. And all this, next paragraph, Shnei Drachim Elo, these two paths, the Kiyum HaMitzvah, Smevar HaRamchal. So Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato explains this in the first section, the fourth chapter, the seventh paragraph. He says, you knew this one, right? This one, the page came right in my mind. As soon as I saw it, that whole long page on the right-hand side just came right into my mind. Some of you just got to know them. It's just like, phew. Let's just review now. Just saying, the conduct and service of Hashem is divided into two parts. One is the things you do because God commanded you. And the second are things you have to do, and you got to do it even if God didn't have a Torah, you'd be doing them. There's no Torah given you to eating breakfast. Perish means to say, ha'ekadu klal masa mitzvah. One is the general 613 mitzvahs. Vasheni klal masa odom yishtamish v'nelom tzarkov. And the second is what man has to do to live in this world. Even if there is no Torah, you have to put on clothes, and you have to eat, and you have to build a house, you have to do this, these are things you have to do. But that's also part of Avodah Hashem. And then he explains, mevar shnei drachim, he explains the two paths. Masa mitzvahs, the actions of mitzvahs, Humakayim Cheftso, he fulfills the chefetz, the object of the mitzvah, so to speak, Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's doing God's will, rather. But Mashatzivo, Shiyasa, Masu Voso. God commanded him to do it. He did it. He did what God wanted. And that's a mitzvah. Just the fact Hashem says, do me a favor. Put on tefillin. Okay? I'll do you a favor putting on tefillin. That's a mitzvah. Are they etzem kiyam a mitzvah? By just doing the action, umekayim es ritzonei shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, he does the will of Hashem. Now, they can make it more, but that at least you've accomplished something. But that which man makes use of this world for his own needs, there's a first thing that has to be within the parameters of what God wanted. For example, eating breakfast, so you can't go to McDonald's for breakfast. And you can't have a tray bacon for breakfast. You got to first make sure you don't violate any other mitzvahs. There's those other 613. It's got to be kosher. Right? But, that's number one. Shelo yia ela haroya lebrius haguf hakim chiyus al tzada yoser tov. And also, it has to be something that's fitting for your health, to maintain your life in the best way possible. So you don't have chocolate bars for breakfast, even though they're OU. You do not have chocolate bars for breakfast. We could debate coffee another time. Okay? Really, we should be giving everybody an orange. a pear would be a very much healthier way to. Doctor, what do you think? Is it better to have a? Tell me the truth. If you, in the morning, should you take a coffee or a peach? One peach. And you shouldn't go after your physicality and your yearning for excesses. What do you mean? It's 100% glad kosher. I had seven kosher danishes for breakfast. You know, with three chocolate milkshakes straight from not just yogurt. It was like, mom, everything was kosher 100%. And that breakfast alone picked up 10 pounds. No, you can't do that either. And your intention is that your body is ready to go, that your soul should work with it to do the service of Hashem. That's what you should. If you're thinking that, you think I'm eating, I'm doing this mundane thing so I can serve Hashem. The Hainu mean to say, to use this world with the right intention, for the use of serving God. Kenemar, as the pasuk says, "Bechol derachecha darkecha da'ehu." In all your ways, you should know him. And then Litzado concludes with one of the most famous lines in the whole sefer: "Ukashia adam mishtamish mino elam al derech hazeh." When a person makes use of the world in this way, in a yimtza hatashmish ahu ba'atzmo pol ashlemus v'yikne b'mala mitis k'mo shi'yikne b'masa kol amitzis kulan. When you do it this way, then you are now, this person comes out that the person is making use of himself to the ultimate of perfection, and he acquires all the highest truths as he acquires in doing any other mitzvah. If you eat breakfast with the right intention, it's as precious to Hashem as putting on tefillin. It's the same thing. It's no different. And this applies to going to work. And you go to work, and you say, I'm going out to work to show that a Yid is an honest person, and that they'll realize those Jews are honest, and they have integrity, and they're never looking to cheat, and this and that. And you go to work with that intention. It's no different than putting on tefillin. Okay, now of course you still got to put on the tefillin. You got to remember, you got to do that too. But it's, there's nothing, as we said, there's nothing mundane in this world that's not holy. Now, with the right intention of making use of this world for the service of Hashem. And therefore, what happens when you have this in mind? It's all now in the mind. What you're doing, you and the goy are eating breakfast the same. Amish the same. And one is doing a mitzvah and one isn't. What's the difference? It's what's in your mind. He now changes mundane physical needs to now have value of mitzvah performance. V'yiskin will merit likness as ashlemus b'diuk. He will merit to acquire perfection precisely. Just like you achieve perfection through doing mitzvahs. Right? And that's what the number two on the bottom, I'm not going to go into the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam and says, everything you do is always serving Hashem, even when you're doing business. Because he's always figuring, how am I going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Even when you're sleeping, no matter what you do, everything can be serviced HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now, with this in mind, this Gemara, now that we just learned, now we begin to see the two halves of the Gemara, how they fit into this so beautifully. Let's just do this next little section. So the next subsection is, B'chol Kiyum Mitzvah Sukkah, Mitzvah Kaladei Masa. The fulfillment of Mitzvah Sukkah is a small mitzvah in the action realm. So now we're going to see two things. So in the future nations of the world are going to say, since in action the goal of everything in this world is for the benefit of the Jews to learn Torah. So everything we ended up doing, the result was for the Jews. So it comes out, whatever we did was like a mitzvah. We built a bridge, it was like a mitzvah. We built the internet, it was like a mitzvah, because it was something that was meant to further the Jewish people and kiyum mitzvahs. So we should get a reward. Just like Litzado said, when you use the mundane world for the right purpose, you get a reward. But Hashem answers, but since when you did that mundane thing, you weren't thinking of the needs of the Jewish people. You weren't thinking of, this is what Hashem wants. You can't merit the schar of the mitzvah, the reward. Ein lamas o mazeh erech kekiyam mitzvah lo kavona haroil kach. No physical action in this world can have the value of doing a mitzvah without the proper intent. But only the intent, when you're doing an action in this world, that will prepare it, that action, to be a master shalkiyah mitzvah, to be action of a mitzvah. Right? Now, so you can see from this right away, and you know, and what about every yid? You know, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say this. What about every yid? Says, what do you mean? I ate breakfast every day. I ate breakfast. I don't know how many breakfasts. 365 times 70. Was it 20,000? I ate 20,000 breakfasts. Give me a reward for breakfast. Says, what do you mean a reward? You ate it because you were a chazer. You're not going to get anything for it. It's not just the goyim, the yidden too. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. That was tricky, God. We didn't know that trick. That you have to have the right thought in a mundane thing to be it. So, okay. Mavakshim. So now the non-Jews of the world say, no. Tain lanu mitzvah, so give us a mitzvah. V'todiyo lanu merosh, that tell us to begin with. V'nasas a mitzvah in kol ha-kavonah rilukach. We'll do the mitzvah with all the right kavonas. Now we'll know. And there's, now we're going to the second half of what the tzaddu said. Really, it's the first half. Zayin ha-kodesh kor bob etchunim b'yusuf. Hashem never comes with complaints against his creatures. He never comes and sets you up for a fall. He says, no, I'll give you every chance. V'nasas a mitzvah sukkah, he gives him the mitzvah sukkah. Mitzvah kalah shem mechazer in case an easy mitzvah doesn't cost a lot of money. Now, so mitzvah sukkah he sug mitzvah shaladei etzem kiyum ma'ase gam lo akavon ha'mashlim asa ma'isa. The mitzvah sukkah is a type of mitzvah that the action alone, even without all the highfalutin kavonas, yesh la erach shokiyah mitzvah, has the value of doing a mitzvah. Just get in the sukkah and sit in it. Finished. You get a mitzvah, you get a reward, because you did what I told you to do. It's a masa achil of asheni basukkah. Just the eating and sleeping in the sukkah, as it says, teishvu kein taduru, sit in it like you normally would live in it. He came in sukkah. That's fulfilling the mitzvah. That's all you got to do. You're eating anyway. You're sleeping anyway, and it's in, you know, you're in Eretz Yisrael. It's a pleasure. So just go in the sukkah and finished. L'nasosin to test them im gam b'mitzvah kala zu l'loy tzerich b'kavon l'kiyam b'mitzvah yeshlam es hakoich l'kai mitzvah zu. He's testing them. That even for such a simple mitzvah that doesn't even need deep kavonas, it's not even a Shema Yisrael. Or Shema Yisrael, you have to think of what you're saying. Do they have the strength to do such a mitzvah? Tomorrow we'll now look at that second side of the equation and see where they fall and perhaps where we fall in our mitzvah observance as well. To be continued tomorrow, mitzvah.